Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, King, eternal, immortal, invisible, that dwells in the light that's unapproachable by men, whom no man has seen nor can see. You be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Your name, which is glorious, magnificent, full of awe, full of wonder, full of righteousness, full of justice. Help us to reflect your attributes and your perfections, that we would be full of judgment, righteousness, discernment, able to discern between the evil and the good, that we would be able to stand up and count it a pleasure and a privilege to be counted those that have been grafted into your family, brought into your kingdom power, that we would live in such a way that the world will respect us and know who we are because of who you are. That all of our respect and all of our power and glory is due to you. We can learn to be like David. No matter what people come at us with, they can come with sword, they can come with spear, they can come with tanks, they can come with propaganda, they can come with racism, they can come with Marxism, they can come with any kind of totalitarianism that there is. We come in the name of I Am That I Am, Yahweh Elohim, the Most High God, El Elyon. We come in your name. We don't take it in vain. We don't claim your name and then go out and not discern between the evil and good, starting with ourselves as we move forward. Help us as we go through our message today. Help us to understand who and what we're supposed to be. In the blessed name of your holy child, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, the righteous one. Amen, amen, and even so, amen. Oh, I feel good. There you are. I'm smiling in my soul. Why is that? It's because the Most High God has given me something to say, and if I don't mess it up, it's going to benefit somebody. Just because God gives you something to say, it doesn't mean you're going to say it correctly. Now, I know I'm not going to please everybody. I mean, if I did that, I might as well go ahead and start talking about Rumpelstiltskin, something of insignificant. Or better yet, Rip Van Winkle. Meaning, I remember Dr. Martin Luther King made a statement one time. He said, many people are just like Rumpelstiltskin. No, Rip Van Winkle, that was the one. He said, when Rip went to sleep, King George was on the throne. Mm-hmm. When he woke up, George Washington was considered the first president of the United States. People slept through a revolution, or Rip slept through a revolution. I submit to you that many today are sleeping through this revolution that's going on. Do you all not realize when the Holy Spirit is moving in the land? You're not realizing when he's pulling the cover off of people and showing what's under their skirts. Do you understand when the Holy Spirit is chastening and getting ready to do judgment on, can I say it like, yeah, I can. I was going to say may, but I want to say can. Can I say it like the old people? On whosoever will not listen to what he has to say. What are we going to talk about today? We're back in the book of Numbers. Let me get really clear with you. In the book of Numbers, we're talking about the government of God. And if you don't understand that God has a government, then understand, quit calling him king. Quit mentioning anything about the kingdom of God. And quit mentioning anything about being saved. Because what we're dealing with the king that has the power to save and to deliver and to make you part of his kingdom. And his kingdom has laws, his kingdom has statutes and judgments, and those that are participants in his kingdom. Not only do they get to be a participant in it, they get to be called a son and a daughter, and they get to rule and reign with him. And because he's king and he's their father and he makes them a priesthood, the world is supposed to be listening to us. And what are we doing? We are listening to the world. We don't listen to him. Prefer to listen to somebody that has been made a celebrity because of the fact maybe they can sing or they can dance or they can porn or they can do poetry or they can act. Yeah, they do the same thing. You make a celebrity out of somebody so they can influence people to do what you want them to do and say what you want them to say and move the masses. Today we're going to talk about we. Please listen to me. I understand people get upset when I say it, but I'm not apologizing. We black people, I don't want to say African American because somebody gave us that title, African America. Just because a person is in Africa or came from Africa, that doesn't mean they were African. I'm telling you now, and one of these days, when God makes people do righteous judgment and tell the truth, they're going to show that people that are in this country, they came from the tribe of Judah. It's in the Bowen's map in the 1700s, where the kingdom of Judah was right there by Benin, right there at the bottom part of West Africa. It's there. It's in the book. It's in many of my books. Many of my books that are about the reformers. You have to know what to look for. That's not the point of my message today. Anybody that's sharing this black skin is considered to be an African American. That is a descendant of a slave over here. But it was refused to come over here because your skin was black and we didn't want a lot of black people immigrate to America. You got the right, the wrong skin color. We have an enemy. And it's a crucial enemy. The enemy, first of all, is going to be the enemy, death. It's going to be the Satan. It's going to be the accuser. But he manifests himself through people. And one of the things that I'm going to let you understand, or if you already understand, I want you to focus on false grace is an enemy to us, you all. Lawless evangelicalism, what I mean is lawless Christianity, that tells you everything is a grace and that everything that has ever happened to you, forget it. Never think about what God said to get things right. When you have a lawless Christianity, then nothing can really be wrong because there's no law. If there is no kind of law, how can anything ever be wrong? What does Romans 5 say? Where there is no law, there is no transgression. I know how to read. I don't know how to read. I know how to listen. I have audio books. But there's no law. There's no transgression. But Paul said, but think about it. Death passed even on those that did not sin after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who was a figure of him that was to come. So Paul's argument for those that don't understand is, if there was no transgression, then there would not have been any sin. But since there was sin, there must have been a law. He wasn't saying that there was no law. Lawless Christianity or lawless evangelicalism, and listen to this one, please. Balaamite type activism is our enemy. And the rejection of God's righteous judgment. I'm going to explain that one because the other three I'm going to focus on. The rejection of God's righteous judgment is really spelled out by a man who understood how grievous it is for us to turn away from God, how grievous it is to God, his heart, and how he's longed to bring us back. When I say bring us back, remember, I'm talking particularly to the black man, particularly. I am not talking about everybody yet. I'm not talking about everybody yet. I'm talking about you right now, who are the descendants of those who have been robbed, raped, pillaged, your history taken, and not allowed to go to school, not allowed to learn, and then come in and take your home and allow Antifa to go out and destroy stuff and let you get labeled, let a pandemic come on the earth and say that
pandemic and really say you are the outscouring of the world and you are the problem. And when we want to test things to make sure people can get well, we use you. It's easy to use you because we do say you're the closest thing that there is to a human. So we tried our vaccines, our surgeries. We do our gynecological surgeries. Don't tell me I'm lying. I'll say John Marion Sims or James Marion Sims. I'll say it. Don't change Marion Sims. You want to see how syphilis works on people? Let's just do it to black people.
Right.
You want to see how COVID works? Say nothing, Tim. But I know Trump. Yeah. Let us go over to Africa and test the vaccine. I'm going to tell you now. Our problem is we have an enemy and we help him. In Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, he says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And that's where most people stop. Don't stop there. Look, in the words of the Christian prince, probably the best apologist that really shows what Islam is about, because not only did he speak the language and his life is always threatened to be killed. He is brought more people to see Islam, to go into at least some form of a Bible believing, some form of it. I can't say, but he's getting better, my wife said, than he was before, and I want to acknowledge that. But it says, because thou hast rejected knowledge. Listen to me, please, young people. God's people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge, not because it wasn't available, not because they didn't have it on their shelf, not because they couldn't go somewhere and get it, not because somebody didn't tell them. It's because they rejected knowledge. Listen to what the prophet says, and I also will reject thee, that you shall be no more priest to me. Understand what that means. You lose your place of prominence. You lose your place of being in charge. You use your place of being the teacher. You lose your place of being dear to God. He says, seeing, listen, I will also reject thee. Thou shalt no more be a priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten what? The law of thy God. I will. Did you hear me raise my voice? I will forget your children. Has evangelicalism forgotten our children? Do they care anything about our children? They don't really care anything about our ancestors either, do they? Huh? They don't like activism. Does it care anything about our children? You'll be able to answer that later. Does false grace care anything about our children? When somebody can kill your child, put their knee on their throat, kill them, and then forget about it, just forget. Shoot you down when you're jogging, forget about it. Shoot you down in a car and say, well, you know, it's just the police fault. It's just the police fault when the laws were made before you had a policeman. It's just the police fault when the people that make your laws, they have agendas to start with before they ever get in a position. And your Christianity allows you to do things and write laws that would subjugate and do things to people that will destroy them as a whole.
When they're no longer any value to you, you get rid of it. We have an enemy that's determined to destroy us, and we help it. What in the world does that have to do with the book of Numbers? It has everything to do with the book of Numbers, because the book of Numbers is showing the government of God. So I want you to look at something, because if you look at the government of God and you begin to understand what it's about, it's about taking over the world. God told Abraham, your seed will possess the gates of his enemy. Did he say it? Am I lying? I know what Genesis chapter 22 says. I think it's the 16th verse or the 18th verse. You ought to read all of it. I ain't lying. But I want you to hear what the word of God says in the book of Numbers. And I want to bring us to the place where we can understand those three points. False grace, lawless evangelicalism, especially that from our white brothers. I said especially that is from our white brothers and have been given to we as black people, and we want to fit into their world and do things their way, and if we have no way and no thoughts of our own, and we are the victim of what has happened. And people say, Tim, you're talking victim. victimization. Let me tell you one thing that's damnable before God. To tell a person that they're a victim, and because you say that they're not, they no longer are a victim. Because you gave an affirmative action, and you say, I heard Rush Limbaugh say, you can pull yourself up and you have opportunity. I can guarantee you, you have opportunity in many places to be meritoriously manumitted. In other words, you can raise up so that we can use you to hold other people down.
Right.
Don't make me pull out facts. Because then over the years, I'm going to pull them out to God, snatch the breath out of my body. And so what if one person left our assembly because I say these things? Leave again. Turn off the website and don't listen to me. But the fact is going to be held that God is going to judge the quick and the dead and his appearance and his kingdom. And therefore, I preach the word. I try to be instant in season, out of season, to reprove and to rebuke and exhort with all long suffering. The time is right now that men will not endure sound doctrine, but they'll teach themselves, teaching, having itching ears, and will be turned into fables. The Greek word there, mythos, myths. Christianity has become a myth because it doesn't exercise judgment when it comes to us. Christianity has become a myth because it doesn't exercise righteousness when it comes to our bodies and our sexualities. Christianity has become a myth because we support abortion and killing babies and giving capital punishment to the unborn. They have never done anything, but we don't want to give the death penalty to those that go out and slaughter, rape, rob, kill, and pillage.
Right.
What kind of God is that that does not keep his own word? Sounds like an American politician, don't it?
Right.
It sounds like a Christian, don't it? A Christian that say one thing and do another. Tim, you sound angry. What? You never have the passion of God. The Bible says he wants people zealous of what? Good words.
We're not going to be zealous.
They're zealous at the football field. I see people out there with cheese on their head. Out there and it's under 20 degrees.
No shirt.
No. I see that. I used to see people at the baseball game go, oh.
With my own eyes, in the snow and the rain.
Let's look at number 31, and I want you to see where our text is coming from. We will not finish number 31 today because I had to make a tangential move so that we can see the gravity of destroying ourselves. Number 31 and 1, and Yahweh spoke to Moses saying, avenge the children of Israel of the Midianites, and afterwards thou shalt be gathered to thy people. If you've covered that before. I don't care. You've heard Luther sing before. You've heard Jeffrey Osborne sing before. Those that like Beyonce, those that like Jared Butler, those that like The Temptations, those that like Hall and Oates, those that like whatever entertainer that sing, Beethoven, you've heard it before. Hear the word of God again. Because of the fact, when you hear it again, it'll increase your knowledge, it'll increase your faith, you should be able to pull more from it. It says, and Yahweh spake to Moses, it's not just Moses talking, listen to this word, avenge. If you miss that word, you're going to think that the Bible does not deal with justice. Avenge is a term of judgment. It's the very same kind of word that's used in Romans 13 and 4, where he is a revenger of those that do evil. He says, avenge the children of Israel of the Midianites. I want you to understand that's where we're coming from today. Afterwards, you'll be getting to your people. And Moses speaks to the people, saying, arm yourselves unto the war. That God, if you don't understand the scripture, you will never understand we are in warfare. Do you think that they were wrestling against flesh and blood? They were wrestling against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. They were doing it then, but it was manifest through people. And therefore, when God manifests himself through us, the wicked want to put us to death. When God does what he, when God allows Satan to do what he does, the wicked is manifest in his people. And when it's manifest in his people, the warfare is us warfare against Satan and what he's doing. And sometimes it will involve people. So the training wheels here is you see
the battles of the Lord physically. When we move to where we are now, the battles are going to be more so on the spiritual level, ideas against ideas, doctrine against doctrine. I will never say that God will never let us go physical. Okay? If somebody came in here and was trying to destroy or kill one of us, and I was in a position to put them down to death, I said to death, I'd do it. And if that means I go to prison, so somebody said you might get raped. Did I just be raped? I'm going to do what's right by my brother. Somebody got to say we're going to do right. Somebody got to stand up and say, I will not allow my brother to just be beat down like a dog because of the fact righteous judgment has to step in somewhere and somebody stand for what's right. That's what's wrong in the Christian community today. They know what has happened. They know our land has been taken, our lives have been taken, our income has been taken, unearned wealth has been amassed and accumulated, and now the oil, the gold, the resources that are in the earth has already been confiscated and given to a certain group of people that made sure that you wouldn't have it because you were considered property. And many of the people that did that to us were Christians and the descendants of those people that nothing is supposed to happen to or for you. And that's a God damnable lie. I don't even have to say damnable. That is just God damned. It's a lie. Because anytime you steal from a people, anytime you abuse a people, anytime you enslave a person, God says the slave will not go out empty. Anyone even American kind of slavery. And those kind of slaves were usually voluntarily made slaves on their own because they had a debt, or the individual got poor. A captured, stolen person, you do not make a child of God a captured, stolen person, or you put that person to death that did it, and the person is God. You're supposed to let it go. Of every tribe of 1,000, you are all of Israel. And it goes through and it talks about the thousands. But I want you to look at who's in charge. This is very important. It says, so that, I mean, verse 5, 31:5, there was delivered out of the thousands of Israel, 1,000 of every tribe, 12,000 armed for war, and Moses sent them to war, 1,000 of every tribe, and Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest to war. Phinehas put himself in a position, listen! Phinehas put himself in a position to get God's attention because he made peace. Understand that now. We think blessed are the peacemakers. Hey, don't say that because it'll make him upset. I'm not going to say anything about black people when they kill each other. I'm not going to say anything with white people when they kill us. I'm not going to say anything about the police. I ain't going to put you talk about people behind their back.
Oh.
You will mean somebody to death. But you won't speak up when it's time to speak up for righteous judgment. Well, Phinehas, when God was getting ready to kill all of the wicked, God had sent a plague, and Phinehas went in there with that javelin, and he stabbed that man and that woman in the midst of them having sexual activity, intercourse, copulation, or whatever word you want to say. He put him to death, and God liked it. He said, he avenged me. He said, I'm going to give him my covenant of peace. He knows how to make peace. So when war time is coming, guess what we're saying? I'm sending the peacemaker. When you think about Jesus Christ, he's the Prince of Peace. See, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? What are you thinking? You think that little white baby doll laying in a trough? You're not thinking of one whose eyes are like flames of fire, are you? You're not thinking of one whose feet are like brass, do you? You're not thinking of one that whenever he speaks to storm, say, I'll shut my mouth. You're not thinking of one when he says, water, hold me up. You're not thinking of one that when he says, peace, be still. You're not thinking of one that can take the ear of his enemy when it's cut off and just make it well. You're not thinking of the one that can get rid of the lady. You out of school, you talk about peace, be still. When you have power and you are righteous, you can make peace. So he sent Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, to preach the war. Lastly, I want you to just say, when you think of Phinehas, think of a picture of the Christ.
before he comes and lives on earth.
So he sent into war with the holy instruments and the trumpets to blow in his hand. And they warred against the Midianites, as the Lord commanded Moses, and they slew all of the males and the king. Listen, and they slew the kings of Midian, besides the rest that was slain, namely, is it Rechem, Tur, Hur, Reba, 5 kings of Midian. Balaam also, listen, Balaam also, the son of Beor, they slew with the sword.
Listen! Do you know why this was taking place? This is taking place, please hear me. This is taking place because this man set forth to destroy them, to destroy them, to destroy the government of God, and he was winning, and the children of Israel was helping him. And God said, we got to avenge this. I got to let you know how bad it is to allow somebody else to come in here and override my word and cause you to turn away from me, because I'll kill you. He declared war on you with his immorality and his ungodliness. Wipe him off the planet. I don't think he's preaching grace and love. Is you a goddamnable liar? Let God be true and every man be a liar. Somebody's going to turn God against you. They're not declaring war. You're not afraid. You don't know him yet. You don't know the one that made Moses' fear and quake. You don't know him.
You must just know the one. You go to church and you feel you confess it about the Lord Jesus and leave your heart, God, baby, from the dead. You say that, you say kumbaya and go live with your girlfriend, your boyfriend, or both at the same time, and everything's okay. We reject knowledge. So the Bible says in the 9th verse that the children of Israel took the women of Midian captive, the little ones took the spoil of all their cattle, their flocks, their goods, and burnt their cities where they dwelt, and all their goodly castles with fire, and they took all the spoil and the prey, both of men and beasts, and they brought the captives and the prey and the spoil unto Moses and Eleazar the priest, unto the congregation of the children of Israel, and they camped at the plain of Moab. This is pretty much where I'm going to stop reading in that, and I'm going to make my break from here so that you can understand the gravity of what happened in the 25th chapters with Balaam. Balaam was a prophet. Balaam would give words of edification, exhortation, and comfort to people. That's what prophecy is. Sometimes people think of a prophet as being a seer. Sometimes a prophet can be a seer, but he doesn't have to be a seer. All he got to do is say what God says. The enemy that is determined to destroy us uses racism, he uses ignorance, he uses false grace. False grace is that no matter what I've ever done to you, or no matter what you do to each other, grace covenant. The grace of God, according to Titus 2, 11, 12, 13, in that neighborhood, it says, it teaches us to deny ungodliness. That's the first thing. In other words, deny anything that you would get from a Balaamite. Deny ungodliness and worldly lust. That which comes up in your loins that you want to do. Or that which comes up in your mind that you want to do to somebody that's outside of God's will. Or that which you want to take from somebody that's not yours. Deny worldly lust. Live soberly. It's wisdom. Righteously. That's keeping God's law.
Somebody say, Tim Gellings, say we're not under the law. If the people that's talking about, it's talking about circumcision. Circumcision is not going to save you. A feast day is not going to save you. It's not going to save you. But I guarantee you, it's better for you to remember a feast day all your life than remember Easter and Christmas, Valentine's Day, bring around the roses, or go around the maypole, and all of those of you along, you singing those with great joy. But when it comes to God, heard you know nothing.
Nothing. Right. Walking around full of ignorance, and you're taking on the European days, but you don't want to take on God's Hebrews day. How do you reckon that in your mind, and at the same time know the Bible says God is jealous?
How?
I'm curious. We're gonna get a Christmas carol.
these debauchers, debauchery, the fool of misrule. Look those words up. Fool of misrule. Well, a man, one week, he could just be able to have sex with anybody he wants to and just do anything he wants to. They take one of the most vile people and do it. But to us, we don't look at that. We don't go back and look at it. But the Bible tells me, I believe it is the 15th chapter of Psalms, a vile person is to be contemned. Well, I know what the Bible says about that. Balaam calls the people with his mess because he wanted to destroy them. He couldn't curse them with his power. But what he did, he infiltrated the people for seduction. All this evangelicalism says God doesn't really judge us. He judged when he died on the cross. All you see is Charles Stanley said it. You don't like I say Charles Stanley said it? Prove me wrong. Prove me dadgum wrong. I got the book. I heard Chuck Swindoll say, and I think he's way better at giving an introduction than me. That boy is smooth. Smooth is some of the most refined silk you could ever find. Just bring your hand, you're that smooth.
I don't care nothing about smooth talk when it goes outside of God's will. I'll be like Paul. You say I'm rude in speech, but I ain't going to be rude in knowledge. That what he said? Okay. He said all your sins, past, present, and future, are forgiven when he died on the cross. And why does the Bible say confess your sins? If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Why is he telling you in the book of the Revelation, if you don't overcome, you won't get to eat from the tree of life. You won't get to rule with him. You won't get a white stone. You won't get to get a new name. Somebody's wrong.
And I don't care about how smooth you get. In the black neighborhood, we don't necessarily call somebody smooth to talk like that. We call them slick. That's a better understanding of when you call somebody slick. You're like, God, we're gonna leave him alone. He's slick.
Right.
He's slick.
And Balaamite type activism. I want you to understand why they're having to fight this person. I want you to understand how we're being destroyed. Let's do some Bible work. You already did some Bible work. Go to Micah chapter 6, verse 1. What's my precious love? I need to put this close to the preacher. Okay, Micah chapter 6, verse 1. Gary, why you laugh? Because I said that to her. But I am. I would have had to do it. In Micah 6, verse 1, listen to the word of God. Hear ye now what Yahweh says. Arise, and contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. Hear ye, O mountains, Yahweh's controversy. And ye strong foundations of the earth, for Yahweh has a controversy with his people, and he will plead with Israel. But I want you all to think about us. I want you to think about us. I want you to understand that when I talk to us black people, are we black people? I'm not excluding anybody else, but I'm saying we need somebody to advocate for us. We need somebody to stop just acting like we have no real issues and that we have no real problems. And there's not something set aside to get rid of us by genocide, matricide, patricide, and just to get rid of us all the way. And so what I want us to understand is when we get to our rightful place, we can be a benefit to the world, to our Mexican brothers, our Spanish brothers, our Portuguese brothers. Yeah, they sold us, but we still can be a benefit to them, to the people that are in Islam and the European brothers. But up until we get something, get the beam out of our own daggum eye, we can't see clear. We can't see clear. That's what the Lord Jesus said. Verse 2, I've already read 2, but I'm going to read it again. Hear you, O mountains of the Lord's controversy, and you strong foundations of the earth, for Yahweh has a controversy with his people. He will plead with Israel. O my people, what have I done to thee, and wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me. Listen to me, assembly. Listen to me. You people right there that are crying out for justice, and many times you don't know what it is. What has God done to weary us? Why do we not call to him for justice? Why do we not demand that we get back with him for justice? How has he wearied us? For though I brought you up out of the land of Egypt and redeemed thee out of the house of servants, and I sent on my own volition, Moses, Aaron, and Miriam,
oh my people.
Remember how Balak, listen. Oh, my people, remember how Balak, the king of Moab, consulted, and how Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Shittim, Gilgal,
that you may know the righteousness of Yahweh. I want you to understand, you were in bondage, and here another man came up to destroy you, Balak, and he did it through Balaam. Do you understand that? Why should you not consult me? Look at what I've done. I destroyed that enemy for you. I destroyed the other enemy. But what have I done to weary you? Verse 6. Wherewithal shall I come before Yahweh and bow myself before the high God? I looked at it last night and I said, okay, Marum Elohim, another name for God, the high God. Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with the calves of a year old? Shall I pay him off with the tithe, with the offering, with the benefit? Will Yahweh be pleased with thousands of rams? Do they need a whole lot of them? And with 10,000 rivers of oil, can he be bought? Shall I give my firstborn, my transgression, the fruit of my body, for the sin of my soul? Here is the answer. He has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what does Yahweh require of thee? But to do justly, to do judgment, to do it, not demand it from other people first, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly. That means you bow the knee, you take the yoke, you bow, you walk humbly with your God. The very thing that was destroying the people during the time of Micah, that you have gone back to a Balaamite way, enjoying yourself, listening to somebody has planned to destroy you, and giving into your sensuality. You have forgotten justice. You have forgotten mercy, because once you don't do justice, you set your own form of justice up and you become ruthless. And you have forgotten to be humble to the Most High God. I want you to look at something in Joshua chapter 24, verse 9. I want you to see this theme throughout the scripture. The Bible says, then Joshua's talking, because he's already letting the people know in chapter 23, you can't serve God, he's holy. But in chapter 24, we usually know that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But look at before he got there. He's given a history, and he says, then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel. Do you see that's war? Warred against Israel and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. I submit to you all that we all are cursed. And I'm getting ready to prove it. He says, but I would not hearken to Balaam. Therefore, he blessed you still, and I delivered you out of his hand. Tim, why do you say we're cursed? Well, right now, we have a mindset to have false grace. Right now, we allow evangelicalism to tell us that we shouldn't demand righteous justice and judgment. So what we do is a few of us get to speak up and say, we're not going to demand justice for our children that come after us. Oh, maybe a little things are a little bit okay for us right now. But what about the ones that it's not okay for? What about the ones that are still suffering? What about we still have people right now almost on the thing of slavery? Why do you think they give you so much money in college? So much money and make everything cost so much. The Bible said the rich rule the poor and the borrower is servant to the lender. I'm going to talk about Balaamite type activism. Then I'll go back to Balaamite activism so that you can see what it is. Thus far, you know that Balaam cursed the children of Israel, not because he could put a curse on them. But I want you all to see Black Lives Matter is a Balaamite type of activism. I want you to see it. I've said it, and I've told people to read it. I had a person to leave our assembly. They didn't like me saying it. One of us is true, and one of us is a goddamnable lie and need to repent. And I want you to see the truth. So Balaam did it by encouraging people to disallow what God says, to give into their sensuality, and to participate in ungodly acts. And God cursed them and damned them. He told them to fight against the Midianites for what they did. and what the King of Moab did. So let's look at Black Lives Matter. I'm finding people that in evangelicalism, they are letting, they talk about Black Lives Matter. We care for Black people. We believe that what Black Lives Matter do is right. And we see these things like, is it Macy's, Penny's, and all these sending you stuff now in the mail saying that they're going to support Black groups, Black organizations, ACLU. ACLU have never been for us. Black Lives Matter is not for you, and I'm going to prove it. But the point being, they're going to become the face for us. And if we don't have the knowledge of God and continually reject knowledge and won't go and look at stuff, we're going to be aligning ourselves with people, and they're going to be your face, and they're going to be your spokesman, and they're going to get every kind of benefit that is ever supposed to go to you if they ever determine to do what God says about restitution. And you will be cursed because you follow the Balaamite-type activism. Today I want to talk about Black Lives Matter. The next time I'm going to talk about another activist group when I talk about it. The founders of Black Lives Matter, go to their website. I'm not going to it right now, but you go to their website. You'll see one is called Alicia Garza. She is married to another woman that calls herself a man named Malachi Garza. That's a woman transvestite. I say this is, you go to Wikipedia, it's right there until they take it down. Alongside her desire for reproductive equality, what is her desire? What is it that she has set forth that she stands for? It's called reproductive rights. So if you go to Wikipedia and you can look up what reproductive rights are, I want you to understand, when you go there and you look at what reproductive rights are, I want to see if that is aligned with what the Word of God says. Reproductive rights, read Tim from Wikipedia. Reproductive rights rest on the recognition of the basic right of all couples and individuals to decide freely and responsibly the number of spacing of their children and to have the information and means to do so, and the right to attain the highest standard of sexual and reproductive health. It also includes the right to make all decisions concerning reproduction free of discrimination, coercion, and violence. Women's reproductive rights may include some or all of the following: the right to legal and safe abortion, the right to birth control, freedom from coerced sterilization and contraception, the right to goodly reproductive health care, and the right to education and to access in order to make free, informed reproductive choices. Reproductive rights may also include the right to receive education about sexually transmitted infections, other aspects of sexuality, right to menstrual health and protection from the practices such as female genital mutilation. Let's go back to what you're talking about here. It says this person, Alicia Garza, when you say you are down with Black Lives Matter, you do not divorce a person from what they practice and what they do. But she says she is for reproductive equality. The other Garza, she considers herself queer, social justice activist, and Marxist. Garza graduated in 2002 from University of California, San Diego, with a degree in anthropology and sociology. In 2008, she married Malachi Garza, a transgender male activist. When you say you're down with Black Lives Matter, how can you be down with God's word that's talking about not killing babies in the womb, when it's talking about not all aspects of sexuality, man and woman in the bonds of holy matrimony? I don't care if you say 10 things that will benefit Black people. Your root and your foundation is on your website, and it is excluding God Almighty. My people are destroyed by the lack of knowledge because they reject knowledge. We don't understand that we bring a curse upon ourselves, allowing ourselves to be aligned with things just like Balaam did. Balaam never told him to lead Israel. Balaam never told him to give up their wife. Just take this and mingle it in with you, and you can become one with us. Patrice Cullors, C-U-L-L-O-R-S. Her spouse is Jenea Khan. Did you hear me? Patrice, female, her spouse is Janaya Khan. Spouse, according to the definition of spouse, under spouse law and legal definition, spouse means a married person. It can be a person's lawfully married husband or wife. Putative spouse refers to spouse who cohabits with another on the bona fide belief that he or she is lawfully married to the other person. She is the co-founder, Comma Patrice Cullors, is the co-founder of Black Lives Matter Toronto. They also serve as international ambassador for Black Lives Matter. Khan identifies herself as Black, queer, gender nonconforming. God said there will be male and female. If you're not biblically intentioned in what you believe, then go ahead and do these things. But don't pretend that you're walking under the righteousness of the auspices of God's eternal word. You're a goddamnable liar. Then it says they are activists, author, and amateur competitive boxer. The other one, Opal Tomete, BlackLivesMatter.com. This is what it says. We see ourselves as part of the global Black community, and we are aware of different ways we have impacted or are privileged as Black people who exist in different parts of the world. We are guided by the fact that all Black lives matter, regardless of actual or perceived sexual identity, gender identity, gender expression, economic status, ability, disability, religious beliefs or disbelief, immigration status or location. We make space for transgender brothers and sisters to participate and lead. We make space for transgender brothers, that means women that say that they are men now, and sisters, those that were men that say they are women, to participate and lead. We are self-reflexive and do the work required to dismantle cisgender privilege and to uplift Black trans folk, especially, see, I say especially Black people, because I want you to know this is my priority, and then we move from there. It says cisgender privilege, uplift Black trans folk, and especially Black trans women who continue to be disproportionately impacted by trans antagonistic violence. We build space that affirms Black women and is free from sexism, misogyny, environments in which men are centered. We practice empathy. We engage comrades with the intent to learn about and connect with their context. We make spaces for family, friendly, and enable parents to fully participate with their children. We dismantle the patriarchal practice that requires mothers to do double shifts so that they can mother in private even as they participate in public justice work. We disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure requirement by supporting each other as extended family villages and collectively care for one another, especially our children, to the degree that mothers and parents and children are comfortable. We foster a queer affirming network. When we gather, we do so with the intention of freeing ourselves from the tight grip of the heteronormative, from the tight grip of God's word, from the tight grip of what God has set up, from the tight grip of the heteronormative thinking, or rather, the belief that all in the world are one heterosexual, unless he or she disclosed otherwise. We cultivate intergenerational and communal network free of ageism. We believe that all people regardless of age show up with the capacity to lead and learn. We embrace and practice justice, liberation, peace in our engagements with one another. Timmy, you hear the bash Black Lives Matter. I'm here for you to see the difference in what their agenda is and what God's agenda is. I'm here to show you that if you believe in God's word and you understand what Balaam did when Balaam had the children of Israel to participate in all type of sex, to go against God's word, God cursed Israel, and they had to do something about it. I'm here to tell you today They do what they want to do. But I'm telling you, it is the failure of false grace. False grace has allowed us to be able to come to the place that we can say we all are the same. I'm not going to say I'm the same with a Muslim. We believe differently. I don't believe Muhammad is the prophet of God. I don't believe Allah is God of the scriptures. I believe that Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, is God in the flesh. That's shirk to them. I don't believe in the muta, going and taking a woman and having sex with her for a few minutes and say, well, say we married and then get rid of her. When you get rid of it, I don't believe in taking black people and enslaving them. So I don't say everything is the same. But we don't make righteous decisions. And you have preachers. You have activists, and they're not the only one. I'm going to read some more, but this is the one people get upset with. This is the one right now they're going to label us all under. It's not about lifting you up as black people. It's about lifting up the agenda of the transgender, the lesbian, and homosexual agenda so they can get paid. They'll get paid, they'll get money, and they'll be our spokespeople. And what will happen is you'll be shut out, you'll be shut down because you stand for what is right. So what I call, why I call it the Balaamite, is because you have moved in the same way Balaam did. I won't go shut down your churches. What I'll do is I'll get the people to where they start affirming what we stand for without looking. And when you affirm, let me tell you how you can tell they're affirming. When we have our white brothers, I call them brothers because we share in humanity, not because we share in the dignity of God's scripture. They go and put BLM, Black Lives Matter, on tombstones, knock them over. They are painted on side of buildings. So that you get this Black Lives Matter as, you know, all the stuff people care about black lives. Understand this. It's not about that. Read. I'm going to show you some stuff one day about the Congressional Black Caucus. I'll show you stuff about the Republicans and Democrats as well, but I need you to understand that we don't understand as a government of God, all we have to do to be destroyed is have somebody bring to us something that's outside of his will. Have I been clear? Because I want to go back to the scripture. Now let's look at 2 Peter chapter 2 and let's see what a Balaamite type of religion will do. A Balaamite type of activism will do. False grace, what it will do. You see, because when you have false grace, you have people walk around and say, you all, you know, we've done enough. Shut your mouth and leave and sit down. We let you go to our college. But dadgummit, you all didn't write the scripture. You translated them. You are not Hebrew. You are not close to being Hebrew. You come from the Caucasus Mountain. That's why you're called Caucasian. Okay, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets among the people. This is for those who say, you dug in numbers, we believe in the New Testament. Okay? But there were false prophets among the people. Remember, I said a prophet speaks words of edification, exhortation, and comfort. Even if there should be false teachers among you who will bring in damnable heresies. Did you see that? Where do you think I get that beautiful word damnable from? Who privately should bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them and bring to themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be spoken, evil spoken of. Do you understand this is what activism does when it's not based and rooted in God's word? They have a way of speaking of the truth, but it's not speaking of it in the way that God has said. It said they through covetousness with feigned words. Their word is plastos. It means plastic words. It's fake words. And they through covetous date with feigned words will make merchandise of you, whose judgment now for a long time lingereth not, and their damnation, there that beautiful word is again, lingereth and slumbereth not. For if God spare not the angels that sin, but cast them down to Tartarus, that's a place where demons were reserved, and delivered them in the chains of darkness to be reserved to judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood of the world of the ungodly, turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with the overthrow, making them an example to those that afterwards should live ungodly. The point of reading all of this is that God shows that I've dealt with angels, I've dealt with Sodom and Gomorrah, I've dealt with other nations that did not walk uprightly, and they listened to people that told them the wrong thing. If I were to read 2 Peter chapter 3, you'll see they mocked Noah. And God dealt with them. And so he says in verse 7, this is where you need to understand when you don't reject knowledge, you stick with God's word. He delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation or lifestyle of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, seeing and hearing vexed his soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Maybe your soul not vexed when they take your children and rape them. Maybe your righteous soul thinking you might not get upset when you see that they want to do more to your children. And take your money and make you pay for it and put your and steal body parts. But it bothers me when churches go along with everything and the holiness of God is now a joke. But the Bible said the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and reserve the unjust to the day of judgment to be punished. One of the problems with that is that people don't have the morphology. So I'm going to read it in the Young Literal Translation. The Lord has known how to rescue pious ones out of temptation and righteous one to a day of judgment being punished to keep. That's literal. Because a lot of times, if you don't have a literal translation, I don't know what that means. So a literal means it's just word for word the way that it would be if you were to see it that way. The New American Standard Bible says, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment. Only thing I want you to see is that when people die and they're not righteous, they're already being punished now. And then it says, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh. Notice, we affirm every kind of sex. We affirm abortion. Chiefly them that walk after the flesh, the lust of uncleanness, despise government, presumptuous are they and self-willed. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. And I want you to understand, as we move down to verse 15, it just shows you a lot of things that they do. It calls them cursed children, the last two words of verse 14. But it say they have forsaken the right way and have gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. There is pay in getting people to move away from God's standard. Whether it's a preacher, whether it's an activist group, it is pay. He was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumbass speaking with a man's voice. He forbade the madness of the prophet. Peter calls these people that promote that kind of ungodliness and saying that they're going to bring you justice and say they're going to bring you peace and make you right with God. Make you right and have utopia. He says this, but when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they are lured through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness. You're talking about sinful abandon. Those who are clean escaped of error, in error, who live in error, while they promise liberty. Isn't that what they say? They promise liberty. They wanted liberty. They themselves are the servants of corruption. Of whom a man is overcome, the same is he brought in bondage by. But listen, false grace said it doesn't matter. Am I right? Evangelicalism say it doesn't matter. All you see is past, present, and future. But what does Peter say? Well, if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. It had been better for them not to have ever known the way of righteousness than after they have known the holy commandment delivered unto them, to turn from the holy commandment that was delivered. Now, how can it be worse? Because some people say something like, well, it's just worse for them in a sense. That's a goddamnable lie. First of all, what for a person that don't know the way of God and they in right on unrighteousness? John's not first John. John chapter 3:18 says, he that believes not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. 19 says, this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, that men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. Neither would they even come to the light. Am I right? I'm right. So if they're already condemned before they learn the way of righteousness, now they learn the way of righteousness and turn from it, how can it be worse? And they still say, false grace, evangelicalism. That is the Balaamite type religion and Balaamite activism. Look at it. It promotes all of those things. I didn't read them all for the sake of time. Every kind of sin imaginable. Listen,
It says, I just want to just kind of just go through it. Self-will, they're not afraid to speak evil of dignities, and they bring railing accusations. He called them brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed. They're going to perish in their own destruction. They're spots and blemishes and sporting themselves of their own deceivings when they feast with you. You're going to join activist groups that are totally anti-God. We don't care about heterosexuality. We don't want the patriarchy. And if you don't want the patriarchy, you don't want God the Father. You don't want God as Son.
You're going to want a mother God. Or you're going to want God in dread. You better hear me. This is why we're destroyed. We have an enemy. And that enemy is trying to move us away from God Most High. And most of the time, we allow it. How dumb can we be? How dumb? It seems like to me sometimes that the smarter we're supposed to be, the dumber we are. And why is that, you all? We are destroyed for what? Lack of knowledge, because we have rejected knowledge. And when we reject the knowledge of God, we make him reject us. And the thing that I hate the most about it is that we feel like we're good. We feel like everything that we do and what we say is right. But I'm going to tell you now, it's going to damn our children. Go to Jude 3. I want you to go to Jude 3. In Jude 3, there's a group of people that obviously have forgotten about the salvation, what it means to be delivered from the bondage of sin. They have forgotten what it means to be holy and separate from this world. They have forgotten. You see, when you take a Balaamite type of activism and bring it into your so-called Christianity, or if you take Black Lives Matter or NAACP, if you take the Al Sharpton's group, the Political Action Network or whatever it's called, and you say they're the same, what you have done is you not only have let these people feast with you, you've allowed them to actually eradicate what you have. The two laws are not going to coexist. One is going to get rid of the other. So you have forgotten about the common salvation. So Jude wrote to people like that. He said, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. For certain men that crept in unawares, ungodly men." Did you see that? I like the way you say ungodly. Ungodly men. It says certain men crept in unaware, who before of old were ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. Preachers do that. Your social activist groups do that. And we like it. That's what Israel did. Denying the only Lord God and Lord Jesus Christ, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how the Lord having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. I need you to understand, false grace is not true. He said, look at how God operates. He saved, he destroyed. Didn't 605,000 roughly men die after they came out of Egypt? Yeah, he replaced them because they wouldn't do what he said. He says, and the angels which kept out their first estate but left their own habitation, has he reserved in the everlasting chains of darkness until the judgment of the great day. You know what's wrong with that? They left their habitation. They were in governmental position of authority. They were supposed to minister to us. And they left the government of God. They left their habitation. What do you think will happen to us as we leave the government of God and his righteous standard and we become lawless? He's showing you. Judas, his name is really Yehuda, would have been called Judas. But somebody determined we're going to call him Jude because we don't want him getting confused with Judas. Go figure. He's saying, look at how daddy operates. You're not better than the angels. Then he says, even Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities round about them, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Remember when I read on their platform different aspects of sexuality? You know, because bestiality is not going to be able to be excluded when you can talk about different aspects. It says, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignity. We're not going to have a patriarchy. We're not going to let you define what marriage is. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, disputed about the body of Moses durst not bring a railing accusation against him. But he said, the Lord rebuked thee. We talking about, I curse you, devil. I curse you, spirit. Where you get all this power? But I want you to hear the next verse. This is what I want. Woe unto them. Woe unto who? Those that have left the government of God. Woe unto them that have been saved. Woe unto them that have been saved and brought out of bondage. Woe unto them that leave their habitation. Woe unto them that listen to people that turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. What is this summation? You have gone the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and have perished in the gainsaying of Korah. What do you mean? Cain killed his own brother because his brother's works were good. You run after the way of Balaam. You want to have things your way and you want to get paid. You want to get riches. I can promote you. You want to get with these activist groups. You think they're going to get some money, don't you? You think they're going to be built up, don't you? You've gone after them. And you perish in the gainsaying of glory. You want to replace God's priesthood with that which you think it is right. And you don't understand that the Balaamite type of religion comes many times in the words of called activism. But it has belief system. It has standards. It has doctrines. It has it. Read them and believe what they say about what they stand for. They're willing to die for it. Most of the time we ain't willing to die for what God say. The Bible said these are spots in your feast of charity. You out here acting and marching and all this holding up signs, and you out there with people going along, and you don't understand they're getting credit and they're getting you blamed for being part of them. They're feasting your spots of charity, feeding themselves without fear, because you don't tell them the truth. Clouds are they without water. They promise you so much, but what happens when you die? Carried about with wind, trees whose fruit withereth. Without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. You want to follow a group that's so against God that is considered twice dead, plucked up by the roots, and you're going to find life in there? You're a damnable fool. He said, raging waves of the sea, foaming at their own shame, wandering celebrities, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Saints, what are we going to do? How are we going to continually live in folly? How are we going to continually reject knowledge? I'm going to tell you now, the biggest problem that we have right now is we don't want to read. We don't want to listen. We don't want to go against the flow. But I'm telling you, we're going to destroy ourselves and our children. The last verse I want to read is in the book of the Revelation. In the book of the Revelation, chapter 2, verse 14, the Bible says, I got a few things against you. Because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. Are there any of us here that hold the doctrine of Balaam? Are there any here that hold the doctrine that you can serve and worship with any god? That you can sex anybody, free sex? That all of the restraints of God don't matter? You don't have to hold that one God thing anymore. You don't have to serve God like he said. Well, that's what they had then. He says, I have a few things against them because they are those that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols. In other words, you put something more, someone equal or somebody's teaching on equality with God, and to commit fornication. Two kinds of fornication. Fornication with God and sexuality. I submit, we are destroyed for that reason. We're destroyed, and we help the enemy. We have false grace. We think everything is okay. So it's easy to go along with evangelicalism, lawless evangelicalism, because God has no standards in lawless evangelicalism. Everything we say will be a law, but anything God say, we're under grace. And then Balaamite, activism. I just mentioned one group, but we do it without even being in a group. But any kind of group. This is why I can't be a Republican. Why I can't be a Democrat. Look at what they stand for. And if they're not standing for what God says, then how? How? On my last point, I was blessed to be with Pastor Gray yesterday at a place where they were going to talk about reconciliation, a place where people could grieve and mourn and talk about social justice. See, I can't talk about social justice from an activist group when they don't, when they're not rooting what justice is in God, because they all going to have their opinion. And I believe God is true in every man's life. But when we look, it was nothing that was allowed really to be said to discuss. We could pray. Pastor Gray had made a requisition, or no, requisition isn't right. He made a request to have something to say afterwards. It was agreed to. It wasn't done. And so when I went back and looked at the paperwork or the post that I saw on the web, it said it was a place to grieve and to mourn. I refuse, and Pastor Gray refused, to be used like that. If you're watching this video, don't ever do that again. I will call you out for real, for real. It might have been an oversight this time. It might have been a mistake. Don't you ever pretend like you're doing something to benefit and care for our people as a token. We don't need tokens. We don't need apologies. As a matter of fact, when we tell you something, it's to educate you. It's not to get something from you. This government has done something to us. You start to do stuff to us when you start acting like nothing has been done and we have no real grievance you when you deny us justice. That's when we got a problem. Other than that, most of the people that I meet that are white have never done anything to me. As a matter of fact, one of my doctors is white and I love him. Never done anything to me. And if I were to lay a case out and show him this is what was done, he said, that ain't right. Most of the people that are in our society were trained in the same schools that we were. So I expect there to still be racism. I expect that most evangelical churches would feel like there's nothing, that they've done everything for us that should be done. I expect that, but I don't expect for you to shut me up before I got anything to say when the proof is on my side from your authors. That's just common sense. But I want to go past it. May I go past that? The Bible tells me that you're supposed to diligently inquire. If I got aught, and if I got aught, be reconciled to your brother. You can do things to help make these laws change. But as long as you say it's nothing and we just belly aching for nothing, you're a goddamnable liar, and I don't trust you to help me. And you like to say goddamnable? Yes, because if I damn you, it means nothing. It means nothing. You know, you still eat, sleep, do whatever you do. No real consequence. But when God does it, with that, I'm just going to let it rest and marinate. And we got to understand we have an enemy and we help him. We help him by adhering to false grace, lawless evangelicalism, and the last one, Balaamite activism. It will curse us. This is why we are cursed. Don't tell me we live righteously. When I say, I mean, those of us, we may live righteously in here, but don't tell us as a whole we live righteously. We don't. Father, have mercy on us according to your loving kindness and according to your tender mercies. Blot out our transgressions. Our sins are definitely ever before you. Wash us and make us clean. Wash us with hyssop. Put the rod on our back if necessary. Break our teeth is necessary. Whatever it takes to humble us so that we can uphold your holy and righteous standard and proclaim your government to the world, so that our children and our children's children can be blessed and walk in your power and your dominion. Amen. Amen and amen. I open our class for discussion, if there's any discussion to be had. If I made somebody mad, say it. If there's something I said that is like, you should have went deep on that, or I want to cover something, and you know, I'm back there looking at you. Yes, I'm looking at you because I'm ready to hear what you got to say. Come on up. There's the mic. The microphone's up here.
I love it.
Because I want people to be able to hear what you say.
Something just right.
You don't even have to psalm it. Actually, this is the building we rent from you.
In the book of Jude, chapter 1, verse 19.
There's your microphone.
Verse 19.
Yes, sir.
It explains it well to put the chariot on ice.
Well, we need that.
And it reads in verse 19 of Jude, chapter 1. It is these worldly people, devoured of the spirit, who are causing division, but you, beloved, build yourselves up on your most holy faith. Pray in the spirit. Keep yourselves in the Lord, in the love of God. Look forward to the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on some who are wavering. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. And have mercy on still others with fear, hating even the tonic defiled by their bodies. That's what we're dealing with in our society today.
Yes, sir.
People that have not the Spirit of God, have not the wisdom of God, and they're doing what they feel is best. And that's when we do what we feel is best, that does not demonstrate the government of God in us, in which we are to be governed by, according to the word. Yes, we have demonstration. All that is good, I'm not against the demonstration of protesting at all. But when we as black people are going to go back to being governed by the word of God, the difference between now and then, our foreparents were governed, even though they couldn't read much, but they had the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God led them in truth. What we got now, we got a bunch of folk, young folks, that are governed by their emotions,
yes,
but not by the word of God. That's a danger.
Very.
Big danger. And that's where we got riots and all this other stuff coming from, because they've been governed by emotion, not by the word of God. When we're governed by the word of God, that means we're going to do it according to God's law. Our God's command,
yes.
And we're going to trust him to get the job done. Yes, we are the ones to be out there on the battlefield, but with God,
yes,
not by ourselves.
Amen.
And I'm with you. We got to stop looking for the white brothers to do us, to do for us. My problem with my race is, when we're going to start talking about black on black crime?
Yes.
When we're going to start hollering and screaming about, I'm sick and tired of us killing one another.
Yes.
What I mean, we're promoting drugs in our neighborhood. There's no neighbors selling drugs. But we don't say nothing about that.
Tell it.
Let's not forget about the bootleggers' house that's destroying families because of drunkenness. We don't even holler and cry about that. Let's not forget about prostitution in our neighborhood. Nobody's saying nothing. That bothers me. I'm not against what I see is going on. But what I've been seeing surpass all of that. And we ain't protesting and talking about Black Lives Matter on that. We closing our eyes and not saying nothing. And I'm sick and tired of preachers and pastors getting on the television, the internet. They sound good. I turn them off. I don't look at them folks no more. I'm looking to folks that I see the law of God in their heart, and they're going to do what they say.
Amen.
That's what I look to. I'm sick of evangelism on TV. Send me some money.
Yes,
buy my book. And when you buy the book and you buy the next book, they say the exact same thing. Ain't nothing different. When you can get in the book for yourself and allow the Holy Spirit to teach you, thus says the Lord. That's what I'm about. I'm just sick of it. You know, I'm sick of the politics. Yeah. Hidden agendas. That's the devil's work. Vote for me. Well, if I vote for you, let me see something about God in you.
Please.
If I don't see nothing about God, and I'm not talking about let me hear, I want to see what I've been reading and learn about God's law. Do I see it in your life before I cast my vote? I'm going to go back to what they said in the Old Testament. Who report will you believe? I choose to believe the report of the Lord.
Amen.
Until we see this stuff change, yes, we got to pray. Yes, we got to be example. I always go back to Christ when he picked 12 disciples. He was no fool. He said, one of you is a devil. But he gave that one that was full of the devil the same opportunity to do right. He didn't stop his mission because he knew he had one of them. Matter of fact, when it came time for him to do what he got to do, he whispered to him, hey, what you got to do, do it quickly.
Do it. Get it done.
It's not going to stop me from doing what the Father sent me here to do. But the other 11, then comes along Paul. They changed the world through the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what God is calling for. He asking for a lot, but a handful got to go out there and demonstrate God's law of judgment.
Man.
That's what it's at. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Anybody else? Come on, y'all. Let me hear it.
Come here.
He had called you out. See there? You said it came before he did it. In the beginning, God created the heavens.
I'm mad, actually.
Why are you mad?
Because people act like nothing has happened. I didn't understand it. I would say even as of early last year, I didn't understand the magnitude. And I still don't understand the magnitude, but I'm not as ignorant as I was before. I start various books to help me understand historical context of what's happened to Black people. I don't always get to finish them, but I have them as resources. And in line with the Word of God, things began to be clearer to me. Can you hear me?
Now?
Can you hear me? So, in receiving the teaching that we are, I think is great. And I know some people don't like it, but you have to read.
Get the other microphone. Just like that, it has a different cord.
Right.
Other disc. Because with Gary,
okay.
With Gary saying we need.
Do what?
It's another one.
Okay. I was too close.
Oh, really?
I was too close.
Maybe you had too many powers.
I'm just, I think sometime there, white people, the first thing that they want to feel is want to feel like they're being attacked. It's as anybody, you know, Jesus says, I think it's in, I want to say it's John, maybe the 18th chapter, around the 15th verse. Because the 15th chapter is the vine. So in John 18th chapter, around the 15th verse, he said, if I had not come to the people and I'm paraphrasing and talked about sin, the people would still be able to cover their sins. They would have a cloak for sin. But because I come to them and I talk to them, they don't have an excuse. And so when sin is addressed, whether you Black, white, red, green, purple, from this country or that country, then you're exposed and you have to deal with it until sin is exposed and people are permitted to continue in lawlessness, and many times they are aware that they've been lawless. For the one who is unaware that he is or she has been lawless, often they might have a heart that'll change, but the one who knows it sometimes will have a heart that'll change. But when you hear the truth, you tend to cover your eyes up or still want to put a cover over your head and not hear it. That's very wicked, and you will be damned. Because the Bible says you're going to reap what you sow. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. And that is in Galatians. And you mentioned Galatians, you talk about people wanting to talk about grace. Paul says that we are not given grace, that sin may abound. Nobody wants to talk about that. It talks about when you are baptized in Jesus Christ and you raised up in him so that we can live as he lived, and we're not to give our bodies as instruments to unrighteousness. So he says, he that is dead to sin, how shall he or she continue therein in sin? I enjoyed the message, but I want to go back to, I guess, a point that I was almost about to make. It has been very systematic through the government. It's been systematic. See, they count on us really being very ignorant. And I am not the most eloquent person. Sometimes I'm quiet because I don't even know how to start. I don't even know how to explain it. It may seem like sometimes like I know, but I don't really. I just know that I try to read, and then sometimes the Lord lets me say stuff and I'm like, oh, I remember that. But you want an excuse for the things that your forefathers have done. You don't want the shame of what your forefathers have done, but you want to keep the blessings of land. You want to keep the blessing of houses. You want to keep the blessings of industry. You want to keep the blessings of business. You want to keep all those blessings. And you call this the good old America of the United States of America. And you say we're indivisible under God. We're not under the same God, because you don't want the scriptures. You have taken the scriptures and you've adulterated them, taken different parts out, and you let some man over there in Europe have complete and total control, and he has let all kinds of sexual activity be exacted against children. You don't want to deal with it. And you say we have hip hop. I know black people talk about hip hop because at one point hip hop was supposed to be speaking politically for the situations in black America and what was systematically set up as ghettos. And ghettos didn't really necessarily start with black people. You have it over there in ghettos where they had marginalized people in Europe. Well, let me take that back. It's different places. But you systematically have different areas of a country where black people will live, and you keep them down, and you use the government to do it. And so when he's talking about a lawless and evangelicalism, there is nowhere in the scripture that you can see that you can continue to live like you want to. It's a guide, it's a smokescreen to be able to do what you want to without being called out. So when these churches come together and don't want to look at history from 100, 200, 300, 400 years ago, and you need to ask yourself a serious question: are you really a child of God? Because he does give justice. Tim, was it Deuteronomy 19 we were talking about diligently acquired things?
Yes.
Deuteronomy 19, start around 16, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 verse. Why you don't want to talk about it? Because some people are mad? Why you don't want to talk about it? Because somebody raised their eyebrow? We get labeled as the angry black man. And we do have a cause.
Tell it.
I think it's Matthew 18 where it says, you have an ought against your brother. You are supposed to take it to that person. Then if that person doesn't hear you, you go and you get somebody else from the assembly. And then if they don't hear you, then you go to the entire church. But you don't even want to talk. Even the Lord God said in Isaiah 1, he said, come, let us reason together.
But
he brought all the facts. In the book of Jeremiah, he said, how are you going to plead with me? You got an ought against this God talking to Jeremiah. You got an ought, and you're going to come and plead against me. You tell me what I have done. I think you show some of that, like in, what was it? I want to say Hosea, but where were we?
Yeah,
Micah
too. Yeah, Micah, when have I wearied you?
So,
what's your problem?
I think it would be great if we could have something where. There was one gentleman that prayed yesterday, and he took his time. He was humble. He sounded like he had tears. He said a lot without saying everything. He said a lot.
Very, very sagacious.
That we need to listen.
Right.
And you don't listen.
He said it.
When I say you, I'm not talking about everybody. as a whole. It is institutionalized in the government. It is institutionalized in the educational system. It is institutionalized in what's supposed to be a system to protect us. It is institutionalized in what's supposed to be organizations to set up people. It is institutionalized in the media. It is institutionalized in what is so-called, what is the so-called church. That you can give us a piece of bread and we're supposed to be grateful because you gave us a piece of bread. We have children. Who in your community is going to stand up and go to the law, go to the Congress, go to all these people and say, these are some things that need to be changed. You keep putting people in Congress and in the Senate that are going to line their own pockets, and they have what we call old money from a long time ago. You still have people who go to Africa and they will, you talking about looting over here, you loot. You take their minerals, you take their gold, you take their resources, you take their land, you take it all. Because you can write some kind of something on a piece of paper. Let me tell you something. Isaiah had a piece of paper and he laid that piece of paper before God. And God answered. Hezekiah,
but it's in the book of Isaiah.
It's in the book of Isaiah. He consulted Isaiah. Thank you. It's Hezekiah. And we talked to the Lord about this. You said something the other day, and I know I'm guilty of it. I don't realize it, but like stuff swells up in me, and sometimes it'll like just all come out when it needs to come out little by little. It's hard. I don't always understand in any situation, but sometimes I'm afraid of that. But I think a lot of times when it happens, I think the Lord has my tongue.
Yeah.
But I heard you say, I've been labeled as an angry black man. They know I didn't know it. I mean, they didn't know that I knew it, but I knew it. So I just, y'all pray for me.
But when they're angry,
yeah,
they do stuff through stealth.
And I don't even want, I don't want it to relegate it
let's just
as
say,
if it's just me,
say,
I'm talking about the whole thing. So it was a very good message. I don't want to remain ignorant, and I don't want to be, what's the word I want to say? Fearful. I want to be fearless.
Amen.
But I want his righteousness to shine through if I am, as we said, was it yesterday, righteously indignant. So I enjoyed the message. I continue to pick up Paul and put him in the back. I don't know if that's wicked, but the concept.
But that's what you made it to me.
Picking up Paul. Anyway, so I'll stop right there. But that was good.
Thank you. Did he provoke you to want to say something else, Pastor Gray?
No, he did just
right. Anybody else? Come on, y'all. Let the world hear that there are some people that know how to talk about injustice. And yet do it from God's perspective. Because a lot of times they don't get to hear that voice. Oh, good. So you end up hearing all the time we get to hear activists.
That's right. Yeah.
We get to hear people that don't care about what God says. But we got an anchor. We got an anchor for what you're doing is wrong to us. Go ahead, Gary Kay.
I think one of the things that's been sold to us, where there might have been a little more truth to it in the past, was education. And now education is a shell of what it used to be. I think in the past, if we really look at it, the blacks of old had a better education because they knew how to preserve their own. It was an education that would teach you how to live. It would teach you some common sense. It would teach you the word of God, and it would teach you how to be able to have things that would be a benefit to the black man, and then others could benefit from it. Not only black man, but we got to stop thinking that getting a degree is everything. You say, well, Gary, I don't think anyone has ever heard me try to say, oh, I got this, I got that.
As okay, you don't to, tell them.
Because I was mad as a student. I was mad. I cried midnight. I said, nobody's going to ask me about these people I got to read about. why am I writing about this? I said, I'd rather write about the people that's in the scripture. And I did in many papers. And I was told sometimes that's not what we look like. I'm like, but it's literature. It's history. It's, I would say that. So I made some mad, but.
Yeah, because they had to hear, read your sermon.
They had to read.
If they going to judge your work,
and I was not as not that I'm here. I'm gonna quote Paul a little bit, and I certainly not Paul. I had not obtained that knowledge. I know he's talking about more than that, but to put it in, I'm like I'm talking about the Word of God, but getting a degree is I think now it's robbery. You come out owing sometimes for a house or more, depending on what you say your degree is, when you can study on your own. Some of it is still fairly good, but you really need to look at what's the requirement, what is it going to give for it, what is it going to do for you. But if you don't have God, it still doesn't matter. It does not matter. So I just, because a lot of people feel like they got to do that. And I've told my children, you don't have to do that. You need a trade. You need something where people first, there's always generally going to be a need. If they want to do that, we will be talking about it. Well, we're going to look at this and this. But you go do that, because almost now they make up, they'll make up classes and or degrees. And sometimes it's like it's opinion, or it's like I'm gonna use the word case studies, but case studies that you could, like, newspaper type stuff.
Bubble gum is
what gender studies is huge.
What?
Gender studies is huge. But you know, so I just wanna say that when you look at that, you must have God. He's unchanging. And then if you're looking at further and what they call it, your first education needs to be in the Word of God. But weigh that stuff out, because a lot of grants are given and it's often funded by people who have a political agenda. You're talking about activists, and most people don't know that. And so you want something like a trade. And maybe there's still some things that are fairly good. I just want to say that, because people don't, sometimes I try to talk to people, they don't listen to me, and I'm like, I feel like I have a little bit of knowledge of some stuff, and I don't even understand every time, because I have to be in certain types of meetings and stuff, but I know I'm going to listen. Sometimes I read stuff, and I'm tired of what I'm supposed to read, but I just watch and say, oh, okay. So don't be fooled. They used to say, don't believe the hype. Look at it. Take what's good and throw the other part out. That's what I want to say.
Anybody else want to speak on this? We're talking now about what we call race relations, because it has something to do with our eternal walk with God. We cannot ignore it. We cannot ignore injustice happening to people. If your son was Ahmaud Arbery and he had been killed, would you want somebody to be able to advocate for you? If your son was Philando Castile, or your father was Philando Castile, or George Floyd, I mean, do we in this assembly, do we have anything that we can say when we look in God's word that will ground, that when we're talking to somebody, if we're interviewed, that we'd have something to say? Because a lot of time I ask people, what was wrong with them? What was wrong with them shooting Ahmaud Arbery? And they can't tell me. You wouldn't want to be shot. I said, does that make it wrong? A hog don't want to be killed, but you might still eat the food. A plant might not want to be cut down and you can still cook it. I mean, why is anything wrong? Is it because somebody had power to say it was and they run your government? What about when they get replaced? Does it get to be arbitrarily changed? Patrick, you got anything to send you at the road? Was there anybody that was enlightened, find out anything differently about what Black Lives Matter stand for? Because I may have read 1/25 of what they stand for. Nobody was enlightened. Okay. You worry about the Marxist part? Okay.
But I mean, it shows them.
Yes. And they'll be able to continually get funding. And the more people use it and the more that name get out, they will become the new face. Get away is going, replacing AACP, SCLC, and all of those things. At least they don't try to say we're doing God. So it's not as easy, it's not as hard for people to see if they would just take the time to read. But see, you got churches that affirm everything that they affirm, like Carlton Pearson in particular. He comes right out and say it. But if a church just says it's just about grace, you affirm it too. You can't condemn anything except for somebody to say that your grace is false. Then you won't be affirming of me saying your grace is false. Anything you got, precious love? Well, I thank you all. Young people, any one of you all want to say something? Well, I thank everybody for joining us. May the Lord bless us and keep us. May what Yahweh lift his face upon us, his countenance upon us, and be gracious to us, and give us his total wellness, his total peace. Shalom, you all. Amen, amen, and amen.